My dearly beloved in Christ, there are several lessons that we can draw from today's gospel of the raising to life of the widow of Nain, one of three accounts of our Lord raising someone from the dead. And notice that as he went to this town, a crowd of people was coming out, accompanying a woman who was taking her son to the cemetery. And we have to admire the compassion on the part of the townspeople who would show this charity toward this poor woman, accompanying her to the gravesite. This was not a large town, and the gospel says that a large crowd of people was with her. So I have to think it was probably the majority of those who lived in that town. And again, we must admire their work of charity in accompanying this woman. But what are the suffrages and the means of grace that Holy Mother Church provides for us to help the poor souls, the faithful departed? For that is an even greater charity than the corporal works of mercy, of comforting one who has lost a loved one, to pray for the faithful departed, to do what we can to release them soon from purgatory if they be still in purgatory. Well, you know that we have every year the All Souls Day, in which every priest is allowed to say three masses for the poor souls. And we have special prayers and indulgences can be obtained to help the poor souls. But we should not just think of the faithful departed on All Souls Day and during the month of November, which is dedicated to relieving them, but throughout the year, we should do what we can to help the poor souls, especially by gaining indulgences. So what is an indulgence? It is the application by Holy Mother Church to a person or one of the faithful departed for fulfilling certain works. So Holy Mother Church draws from her treasury of the infinite merits of our Lord and the superabundant satisfactions of our Blessed Mother and the saints, and applies those satisfactions to a departed soul when a person fulfills certain prayers, certain requirements. So we should desire to gain as many indulgences as we can. We also have in the Missal several things. First of all, in the canon of the Mass, we have the memento of the departed. So during the canon, before the consecration, there is the remembrance of the living. And then after the consecration, the memento of the dead, where the priest pauses, takes a few moments to call to mind the faithful departed that he particularly wishes to pray for. And we should, you lay people should do that as well during the Mass. And notice also in the Missal that there are three Requiem Masses, not counting those on All Souls Day. The first one is the funeral Mass. And this is used not only for the funeral, but also that same Mass is used, or can be used, on the third and the seventh and the 30th day after death. Now you would count those days from either the day of death or from the day of the burial. And so the priest is able to use that Requiem Mass on the third or the seventh or the 30th day after death with a special oration that is also found in the Missal at the end of that Mass on those occasions. And so this is a wonderful Catholic custom. Those Masses are privileged, which means that they can be offered when otherwise a Requiem Mass might not be permitted. So they can be offered on what we'd call a double feast. Now, if the 30th day, for example, falls on a Sunday or on a first or second class feast, then it would be the first day available afterwards that that Mass could be offered. This offering of a Mass on the 30th day after death is called the month's mind. Just an old English name that was given to it, a Catholic custom, the month's mind, calling to mind, again, a departed person on that day. Now, speaking of the number 30, we also have the custom in the church of the Gregorian series of Masses. And it is so called from Pope St. Gregory the Great, who reigned from, I believe, 590 to 605. And in the work he wrote called his Dialogues, he tells about the time before he was elected pope when he was the abbot of a monastery. And in that monastery, a monk died, and the abbot, St. Gregory, told one of the priests in the monastery, instructed him to offer Mass for 30 days in succession for that departed soul, that departed monk. And after the 30th Mass, that monk appeared to one of his fellow monks and related that after that 30th Mass, he was delivered from purgatory and he was now in heaven. And so that custom has been adopted, called the Gregorian Masses, of offering 30 Masses in a row. Now, many priests are reluctant to do it because they have other Masses, other obligations, and it, again, it takes up a whole month. There also is the fact that they must be consecutive. So if a priest were to break the string of Masses, he would have to start all over again, counting 30 Masses in succession. So it is a grave obligation that a priest undertakes. And it is a beautiful Catholic custom, again, based on that incident regarding that monk. So there are many things that Holy Mother Church provides for the faithful departed. We should remember this as a very important act of charity to pray for the faithful departed. Now, we also notice that our Lord performed this miracle without being asked. Most of the cures and the miracles performed by our Lord were done so when he was asked to help someone. Like we had the story of the lepers. Jesus, Master, have pity on us. Someone calling out, someone asking for a cure, or perhaps the relatives of a person asking for a cure for a loved one. But here's a case in which our Lord performed this wonderful miracle of raising the young man from the dead without having been asked to do so. Why did he do so? Because of the love and the compassion of his Sacred Heart. It moved him to perform that miracle. He was moved. In his human nature, our Lord was moved by the pitiful situation of this woman who was a widow, and now her only son had died. And he restored him to his mother. But what must be our compassion for our Blessed Mother? She also was a widow. She also lost her only son, and such a son. And she lost him in such a terrible, cruel manner. The most horrific death of the Passion of our Lord and then his crucifixion. So we, like our Lord towards that widow, we also should be moved with compassion towards our Blessed Mother. We should console her in her sorrows. And you know that this month of September is dedicated to honoring the seven sorrows of our Blessed Mother. There are special indulgences that can be gained this month. And we have on Tuesday of this week, the Feast of the Seven Sorrows of the Blessed Virgin Mary. Now, on the back of your bulletin for today, the sorrows are listed with a prayer and also the promises for those who honor our Blessed Mother in her sorrows, those who compassionate her for her sorrows. I will grant grace, I will grant peace to their families. They will be enlightened about the divine mysteries. I will console them in their pains, and I will accompany them in their work, etc. Seven promises which Our Lady made to, I believe, St. Bridget, that she would grant to those who honor her sorrows. So let us strive to do that, especially this month. And we compassionate our Blessed Mother for all the sorrow she experienced, but we also want to take the sword out of her heart, remove that which causes her pain, which is sin. In our lives, to overcome even venial sin, because that wounds our Blessed Mother. Her first sorrow, which took place only 40 days after the birth of our Lord, took place in the temple when the priest Simeon said to our Blessed Mother, "Thy own soul a sword shall pierce. And Our Lady remembered that prophecy for the rest of her life. So she did not just have sorrows when, for instance, the flight into Egypt or the loss of the child Jesus in the temple or during the Passion, but she remembered throughout his life that one day he would die, and he would die a terrible death. And so she had sorrow throughout her life. Let us console our sorrowful mother. Let us tell her how sorry we are that she who was sinless had to experience such bitter pain and suffering and sorrow as a sword piercing her very heart. And let us try to console her and to avoid offending Almighty God, that we will not be the cause of additional sorrow to the heart of our Blessed Mother. So think of this when you think of the raising of the son of this poor widow. What must have been her grief? And then what must have been her joy when her son was restored to her? Let us compassionate our mother, and let us avoid offending her, that we will not add to her terrible sorrows. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.